there we go. You are on.
I think so.
I don't know why not.
Good morning. We are live. Woohoo! Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Happy August 1st.
It is already.
Woo!
It is August 1st. It's my parents' anniversary.
We asked Bobby Connors about it because apparently he was sort of in ill health, and the next time he went to the doctor told him that he had that all of his organs and his bodies and his insides were, he was basically in the shape of what an 18-year-old Olympic athlete would be.
Who was that?
Oh, Bobby Connors.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
No, talking about what you were talking about making it down here and you were sleeping on the way down here.
No, I wasn't sleeping on the way down here. I know that much.
I heard a story yesterday where this family owned a huge cattle ranch, and the son, you know, rides up on his horse, and he was saying, "I just take these things. It'd be much better to round up these cows with ATVs." And, you know, he says, he pulls out a bottle of beer out of the front of the saddle, and he takes a big swig of it, and he goes, "But the thing about these things is that they always take you home." And at the end of the day, the guys he was talking to saw the horse far off, and the guy was drunker than drunk, slumped over the saddle horn, and the horse was just
plodding
on its way home.
That's true.
So I thought that was pretty.
Yeah, the ATV probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah. No. And, you know, his father, the old time, it's just quieter on the cows if the, you know, with the horses around. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like that.
Okay. So I want to take a moment here and ask you to take a moment or not. Maybe you don't need a moment. To consider, think about, and I want you to share it with us so that we, you know, can hear. It will be an encouragement. How God loves you. An incident in your life. It can be spiritual. It can be physical. It can be emotional. It can be health. Anyway, what comes to your mind when you think about how God loves you?
When I went off script, he always loved me, regardless of where I was or what I was doing. He always has proven o'er and o'er his love for me, which brings me to the realization of that he is totally worthy of my love and my submissions, my honor, because of how he loves me. And I only love him because he first loves me. And I could probably give you hundreds of examples.
Oh, yeah. That, I think we all can. But just that right now, what comes to mind when you went off script?
Yep.
Anybody else?
I think it's just how often reminds me of how good he is. Mm-hmm. Because of his creation. It happens almost every day, I wake up and there's this idea that God has really created all this for mankind, and I'm part of that mankind. And so I just think of how often he has shown us how much he loves us by his creation.
Cool. Anybody else?
I got proof right here.
Your wife?
Yeah.
Her leg. Okay. Her leg.
Moved in right next to me. How did that happen?
Cool.
That's true.
I got two of them.
Okay.
I'm going to piggyback on Joe's. Henry's sitting in the anointed spot, but how many times God just totally brings creation to me, whether they eat from my bird feed or take a bath in my fountain. Or the doves come and land,
yep.
You know, that means just creation just
cool
shares the glory of God. And then I know that he loves me because the way my children respond to me and love me and are in relationship with us and
cool.
They're my kids.
Kids. Mm-hmm. Henry?
Well, I think I'd, you know, because I didn't really, I wasn't raised knowing him or knowing anything about him, and just when I hear it, it's almost like, well, how does he, you know, and and I think it gets back to, because that's who he is. It's more about him, you know, than it is about me. I don't think he's able to do anything. It's just his nature to. And I'm, you know, I see that in people and in my relationships, and it's becoming more real, quite to me through seeing that. If I didn't, I could hear that he was, but it's through my relationships with other people that I see. I see that the demonstration, and that's when it kind of becomes real. Otherwise, I think my tendency would be to question it, because I could get other focused. Mm-hmm. On,
cool.
That's a good word right there. I could get other
focused.
Focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is Laura with us?
Yeah, I'm just going to ask.
We're on. I haven't seen anybody yet.
Oh, okay.
Right. Are you there, Laura?
Might be hard for her to hear the discussion.
Yeah, I don't see anybody here yet.
Okay.
But you're on.
Okay.
You are on.
So, Steve?
I think just the constant reminder, no matter what sort of health issues come at me, that the Lord just always seems to take care of them.
Cool. Julia?
And the peace that goes with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think for me, since I grew up in a rural environment and really bonded with nature, and like Kristen said, you know, the other afternoon I had 4 bluebirds in my backyard. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, and then there'd be hummingbirds and just different, you know, like I went to the ocean, gotten there once this summer. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm just sitting on the beach, you know, and here's this beautiful flock of pelicans go by, you know, and it's just little things that you're like, you know, that God knows that blesses you.
Mm-hmm.
Pelicans could mean nothing to somebody else, but
mm-hmm.
to me, they're special.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I was thinking of Henry with his cat. I mean, when I think about my cat that came into my life, and Getty, it was a total God thing.
Mm-hmm.
Completely, you know, in a campground with strangers, the stray cat comes up, I end up adopting her. Everything about it had his finger. I had said I wasn't going to have another cat. Well, guess what? You need another cat, you know? And she was the sweetest cat I ever had. So just things like that, you're like,
Yeah.
Maybe we need to go camping again.
I don't know that season may be over, you know. But anyway, it's oftentimes something you see on a billboard, or mm-hmm. it just seems for the moment mm-hmm. something speaks mm-hmm. to you mm-hmm. that wouldn't speak to anybody else, but it's yeah. right for you.
So. Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me when mm-hmm. I decided, okay, where do I begin today, Father? Where do I begin? And I'll just read what I wrote here. So, because mm-hmm. I want you to kind of see, you know, a day in the life of God in me, so to speak. So, where do I begin? Question mark. Lord Susan. That's what came to my mind. Mm-hmm. Lord Susan. And I go, oh, okay. And I pondered that for a minute, because I don't know if you guys know that, but Steve loves Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And so I'd watch it with him in the evening time, and so it always
live
goes
on and prosper over there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
they're doing the song.
Oh yeah, that, you know.
Yeah. And all those shows, it goes Captain's Log.
Yeah.
Stardate, did it, and it just got in me and in me and in me, and so I start every single morning. I start my mm-hmm. journals. Susan's log, Earth date, 08012021. I mean, I just start them like that. And when I started doing that, I go, first of all, I didn't want to be speaking over myself something that was not right, and I didn't want to dishonor and disrespect the Lord. And I go, He's King of Kings and King of and Lord of Lords. I'm a Lord, so I don't feel like a Lord. Why am I naming myself like that? Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't care. I can see from Scripture that it's correct, and I can see that that's the way God sees me. I don't see myself that way. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. So I've been doing it, and I am amazed. I've been doing this now for a while, at how, without even knowing, it has boosted my perception mm-hmm. of who I am and what I have and what I can do and how I can move. So when I said, where do I begin today, Lord? Mm-hmm. And he goes, Lord Susan. I'm going, okay. Then I'm a Lord. Who are my subjects? And I go, okay. And now don't take that wrong, because today I get to share. So mm-hmm. who am I sharing with? And then I thought, well, a Lord, he serves, she serves, so who do I serve? Oh, and I thought, well, what do I serve, Lord? What do you want me to serve your lords and your kings here today? And he goes, love, always love.
Not fish sticks?
No. But I could teach you how to fish, and you could go get some for us.
I just go out in the ocean and throw up.
Well, it's good food, right? Chum, whatever they call that. Bait.
Chummy.
I attracted them all.
So I said, how do I serve love? And he goes, share how I've loved you. So when I was thinking about how he loved me, then it came to ask them how I have loved them too. Mm-hmm. So this is what I got. And you guys touched on it. By nature, by people. How has he loved me? By people, by you, by your presence, by your love, by your supporting me, by your prayers for me and my family, your friendship. I got incredibly blessed the other night when I sat across the table watching you ask Jace questions and asking Alice questions. And just the love that was coming out of you when you were asking these questions and really interested in their life. I got loved by just sitting there watching you. So by my experiences in life, you know, I'll do something and I'll go, oh man, that didn't work very good. And then he'll just show me a new way to do it. You know, I just quickly listed some things, how he's loved me by nature, by people, by experience, by books. You ever read about, I'm in these books right now that mm-hmm. I read a book and something in the book will just come off the page and I can see God's love all over it and how it touches mm-hmm. my heart. By movies, mm-hmm. by radio, and I've shared by radio before. I think I've shared this incident with you, but I'm going to share it again because it impacted my life greatly. Mm-hmm. When I was in the barn grooming my big white Dutch warm blood puppy, and I'm grooming him and grooming, and on the radio it says, "Everything you do is an act of worship." Mm-hmm. I went, "Really, Father?" And I groom, and he goes, I said, "Grooming my horse is an act of worship?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Okay, now he's got my attention." "Yeah." "Oh, okay. How is grooming my horse an act of worship?" And he says, "Well, just put a little bit more love into it." So I did. I started getting a little more tender, and the way my horse immediately responded, he was like, he took his head out of the manger, and he just looked at me, and I went, "Whoa." This was when I was on our way to Brazil. Mm-hmm. So for 6 months in preparing for Brazil and going to Brazil and doing what I did in Brazil, I was thinking about the act of everything I do, the act of worship, everything I do being an act of worship. But my perspective on that was that everything that I did was an act of worship to him. Mm-hmm. And when I got back from Brazil, and I had that mindset, that perception of everything I do is an act of worship to God, da, da, da. He, one day in the barn, hit me. "What you're doing is an act of worship." And I knew it was not worshiping him. And I go, "Oh my goodness." It just set me down in my tracks the way, and even that was, he was loving me. He loved me by re-educating, by showing me that you are worshiping the wrong thing here by your actions. Is that the way you want to proceed right here, right now? And I'm going, "Oh no, you got to teach me. You got to show me. You got to." So he loved me by changing my perception in a more truthful, honest, God-like, God-looking way. So he will, he loves me by the telephone, by working, by playing, by pondering. And when I got to this point, I go, he just loves me by life, mm-hmm. period. By every step I take is life. He just loves me in everything that I do. So that started me then down on this, where do I go here? I told you, some of you, George Watkins came and shared with us the other day, and we just had lunch with him, and I'm quiet, and he's sitting there, and he turns, and he looks at me, and goes, "So Susan, what has a horse taught you lately?" Mm-hmm. And I went, "Oh, well, that was just 2 hours ago," and it was like, the river of life whoosh, just flowed out of me for 10 minutes. Blah, 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 blah. I'm just telling him that, because I had just gotten off of a horse and what this horse had shared with me. And it happens to be my daughter's horse, which I've only ridden her 5 times. And when Tiffany got her, I had Julia come out and we prayed for this horse because I was a little bit concerned that this horse would not properly take care of my daughter because of the look in her eye and the way she was acting. So we went and prayed for the horse. And then when the horse, Tiffany moved the horse off the property, I prayed again that while they were gone, because I wouldn't have the influence touch-wise, face-to-face-wise, that the horse would take care of my daughter. She brought the horse back. And now I have had the responsibility or the honor of riding the horse and training the horse. And so I shared with George how I realized the behavior of this animal was not desirable and how I would change that behavior. I don't think about it. I just ride it. I just do it. And how I've been doing it in love. So there's not more than a minute and a half goes by that I'm not praising her. Mm-hmm. So I will watch what she does, and when it's good behavior, I praise her. Good girl. And she's responding out of this love. Then a little while later, I learned that Tiffany, I was sharing this with her, how she's coming around and starting to react differently, that when I touch her mouth, instead of throwing her head up, bracing her neck and going, she will start to give and respond with a giving. And Tiffany said, yeah, when I purchased her, the husband would fight with her. And I didn't know any of this, and fight viciously, and he's a man, so he wouldn't give up. He's strong, and I'm a woman. I look at this muscle, and then I look at the muscle of that neck. Mm-hmm. There's no competition.
Thank you.
So I don't ever come to the place where she could pull. I don't let her pull. And I praise her every time she does it right.
Mm-hmm. She plugged the beans in.
So we hit the gate, and we come, and we had an awesome ride. We hit the gate, we come through the gate, going down the county road to the barn. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, her old behavior comes back. I touch her mouth, grab the bit up, and I go, oh, what's wrong here? What's wrong? And I'm asking the questions, what's wrong? And I did what I was doing to train her, and I'm circling her, and I'm praising her when she does it right, and we turn around, and she just was, and I'm like, ha! And God just shared with me, she lost her focus on the goodness, on the love, and she was focused on, and she reverted back to old experience life behaviors. And then when I realized that,
can you say that again, please?
She reverted back to old
life
experience behaviors. And so I thought, okay, now that I know that, What I normally would do was take her off the trail. I would try to get her focus back. I could not do that because of the... So I used every tool that I had, and I started crisscrossing the road. Like zigzag down the road. So the minute we'd head straight, she'd lose focus, and I'd ask her, and we'd turn and go sideways. And then I'd turn and go sideways. And then I'd turn and go sideways. And it was a hard... It was a hard
stretch.
three blocks. Mm-hmm. Because the minute I would turn her face to turn the other direction, she would lose the focus again. As soon as we'd go crossways, I'd praise her, give her a little bit of love. She was there, and then she'd lose. So I thought, whoa, this is a life lesson here. Mm-hmm. How many times has God gone tugging on you? Oh, mm-hmm. Hey, come back, come back. Mm-hmm. You know, and so what you said is when you go off script, she went off script. But the script right now in her is not stronger than the script that she had learned from that negative being fought with. Mm-hmm. So it takes time. It takes perseverance to break some of these habits. And then I started comparing her with Dulce, my horse, who was born and raised on the place, who I have trained since she was a baby. And when she was a baby, I remember you couldn't touch her tail. And that was so foreign to me because, you know, I've never had a horse that it would bother them to touch their tail, to groom their tail. And I just took the time, you know, and trained her and taught her and loved on her. And, you know, now I sit back there and braid her tail, groom her tail, take her tail between her legs. And so I was comparing them. And I have just recently started giving lessons on Dulce. And she's a one-person horse. I'm the only one who's ever really been on her, except for a person here and there. And they get on. And the because she's so used to me... Parallel, I'm so used to me and my way of doing things that when I put somebody else on, or when God intervenes and says, I want you to do it this way instead of Susan's way, she feels those pressures and she interprets it. She doesn't know how to interpret it, except that that's not the way my mom does it, and my mom does it quietly. There's tension here. What do I do with this tension? So when I started giving lessons on her, I was a little nervous, not only for the student who was seven, and also for Dulce, because I don't want bad things to happen to her at her age. She's 27. Mm-hmm. She's doing awesome. She, you know, training, mm-hmm. doing both of them. And so Alice, 7 years, 8 years old, comes from Germany, and she wants to ride a horse. I put her on. She's on for 5 minutes. She goes, I want you to take that rope off. I want to ride by myself. You know, no, I'm protecting you and my horse. She rode 3 times, and the third time, I took the rope off. And she's riding Dulce around the arena by herself. And I just sat there and I go, God, you are so good to me. You have given me this horse. She is out there with an 8-year-old right now. Doing exactly what the 8-year-old wants. Turn left, turn right, go around the cone, go over the Cavalettis, trot, walk, whoa. I was just, that's the way God loves me. And it was fascinating to see that. So, lately he's been working with me a lot on love, as you guys know, and he's been working with me a lot on perspective and how to see things, how things change, how I see things, and how he sees things, and how other people see things. We are so privileged to be in community, because my perspective on what something looks like made me think, too, that I shouldn't be so harsh to judge when I hear somebody else's perspective, because somebody else's perspective is their perspective. Mm-hmm. It's not right, it's not wrong, it's theirs. We have our perspective, we have God's perspective, and I have all of your guys' perspective, which is amazing if you look at it in the right light. Because just like me watching you ask Jace questions, I felt loved. I could have had a different perspective on what that looked like and not have felt the love. So we have all these different vantage points at our disposal. Of course, the one that is truth, I would imagine, is God's perspective. Mm-hmm. And he's the one, truth, sets us free. Mm-hmm. So always looking at his perspective will set us free from any bondages of our perception. So I want to give you a couple of incidences of my perception and how it got changed. One of them was when I was 14 years old. I went on the Skyline Trail from point A, 70 miles, to point B over a week's period of time. And I went with my aunt and uncle, who were the responsible adults who planned it, Skyline Trail. It's called the Pacific Crest Trail now, not the Skyline Trail. But then it was the Skyline Trail. And we had on our agenda that we were going to go see Indian Holes.
Indian what?
Indian Holes. It was a place on the map on the Skyline Trail to see Indian, you know, we were going to go through Indian Holes. So as my uncle is riding along, he's in the front and he's John Wayne type. And he's looking up and goes, man, I don't see what these, because it didn't tell you what they were. It just says we were upon them. And we're looking all over, where's the Indian Holes? And all of a sudden we come basically to a cliff. But the trail started zigzagging. That's the only way you could go down, because it was so steep you had to do the zigzag. And we started, whoa, do we want to go down in there? And down, way down in there, we could see a river. And we thought, well, this is where the trail goes. I guess we need to go here. And maybe the Indian Holes are down in the bottom. Maybe, you know, this is where they camped and did all of this. So we started down. It was horrendous going down. One of the kids' cinch broke. Yeah, it was hairy. But anyway, we made it down there. And we figured out that the Indian hole was where we were. So I'm looking for these holes, maybe where they dug something out, fire pits or whatever. Mm-hmm. No, this was like the Grand Canyon, and this was the Indian hole. And in the bottom was this river. perspective. Mm-hmm. Perspective. We were all thinking these holes in the ground when no, it was this huge, huge, I don't even know how, bigger than Avery Park. Mm-hmm. So you know, big. Perspective. Just perspective. So here's another perspective. I heard this story. I'm going to tell the story again. Probably change it up because it works better for me. I heard about this farmer who had a well that a donkey had fallen in. Now, when I, a long time ago, well, I'll tell you the story and then I'll tell you how God changed my perspective just this morning. And he come ask his friends, help me get this donkey out of the well. This is my donkey. He's an older donkey, mm-hmm. but I need to get this donkey out of the well. They couldn't figure out how to get him out. This was before tractors. This is, you know, all that stuff. And they couldn't figure it out. So they finally decided that they were just going to bury him mm-hmm. because he's not going to make it. He's down, way down there, and they're not going to make mm-hmm. it. So they started shovelful at a time, putting the dirt on top of the donkey. And the donkey decided that, wow, I don't know what you're doing up there, but a shovelful had come down and he would just mash it into the ground. They kept shoveling, he kept mashing. They kept mm-hmm. shoveling and he kept mashing. And pretty soon the donkey's out of the well because he mm-hmm. just stepped up mm-hmm. on the dirt.
I heard that one.
So this morning I'm thinking about this and I'm going, wow, this is such a great story. And he goes, yes, but. I'm like, okay. To me, a well is something about, you know, a well. It's a well, right? And he goes, a donkey needs to fit in there. And I went, oh, so it's more like a ditch or something bigger because a donkey needs to fit in there. And they don't have tractors and they're using shovels to put on top of this donkey. This is going to take a really long time. And he goes, uh-huh. Okay, so are you ready, Don? Got your hands up? That is a sock. Toss it around. Okay, this is only one dirt clod. This is only one dirt clod. This is not a shovel full.
Shake it off.
Can you imagine being in the bottom of a well and a whole shovelful of this coming down on your back?
Mm-hmm. For hours.
Mm-hmm. For hours. Have you ever felt like that? Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt like life was dumping on you shovelful at a time? Shovelful at a time. Mm-hmm. Well, then he showed me that the donkey was old. In the story, the donkey was old. Mm-hmm. The donkey had wisdom. Mm-hmm. He had life on his hands, on his side. He determined what he knew from his wisdom of life, that if he just kept on keeping on, that the foundation underneath him would become stronger and bigger and better, and it would lift him in life to a place where he could be on top of the world again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just lost that.
Yeah.
Oh, over
there. He says it was tasty.
So, hee-haw,
hee-haw. That's right. Hee-haw.
I would have thrown a life jacket down so I could fill the well up with water.
See? Perspective. See?
Well, I ruined the well.
So you have the river of life flowing over here that gave life to the donkey to bring him up. See? Perspective. That's why I love hanging out with you guys. I didn't think of that. It's awesome. Take a rock in the river. We have a place on the Mary's River that we go to camp, and it has, what do they call that? Basalt? Is that the...
Mm-hmm. Basalt.
Basalt is the bedrock?
Yeah.
The grave.
It's just... It's just... You can't dig it up. I mean, it's the ground. And, you know, you take a big rock in the river that's heavy and strong, and you think about... It's heavy. It stands. It doesn't move, and the water hits it, and the water goes over it, around it, under it, you know, through it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it just stays there. The rock just stays there. Another rock comes and hits it, and it'll chip a piece off, or... So the river of life is just always going to flow around us, and the river of life is there for sustenance, and the river of life is there for nourishment and moisture, and for us to draw from, for us to just get nourished by. And we just need to be... We are what the river is of life came for. It is for us to be nourished and to let it come in us and flow out of us. So when I've also been pondering the fruit that going and hanging out underneath the tree of life, mm-hmm. the fruit that I got was the heart. The fruit, I literally got a heart. I got this fleshy looking red heart with I've seen them with the fat vein through it, you know, I got the heart. And so when I asked the Lord what I was supposed to, I know this is going to be sort of gross, but when I asked him what I was supposed to, what the drink was for my communion, that I was supposed to take communion with these elements every day, he said, I want you to drink the blood of the heart, you know. I thought, okay. I was just, okay. And then he showed me that, of course, that's the river of life. But it's funny how... You know, I know very well he wants me to bite into that heart. I haven't done that yet. It's going to take courage for me to bite into that heart. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I've eaten heart before. Have you eaten heart? I've eaten beef heart. I've eaten chicken hearts. Mm-hmm. I've eaten hearts before, never really raw.
I have three of them in the freezer.
Yeah. Just... So I don't know what my apprehension is at the moment. But I know that I'll get the courage to do it, and the timing and whatever that I'm supposed to do that. But what he showed me is that heart, it just comes back to love. It always comes back to love, and my response to that love, to that fruit, to that love, And at one point he said, they'll know you by your love. And I'm going, how are they going to know me? I mean, I don't know how they know me. I got a little bit of it. He showed me a little bit with Alice. Because when we went yesterday, we went to the International Air Show in McMinnville.
Oh, fun.
With Alice and Amanda and Jace. And Chad and Kendra were there. So we met up with them. And they had brought another couple with them. And when they were going to pick us up because it was so much money per car. So we left our car and we got in. And when I saw Alice, she goes, Grandma Sue, I want you to sit next to me. And I went, that was the Lord showing me he loved me. I just met this little girl.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. And for her to say that, it just touched me. And mm-hmm. he showed me he loved me right then. So, as I was pondering that this morning, I have been to one other air show, and I remember getting the same feeling at that air show. I was like totally overwhelmed, and that same thing happened to me yesterday. I was totally overwhelmed at this air show, and when the Thunderbirds came out, I just started bawling. I mean, I don't know why, and I'm just like, okay, Father, there's something here. This is touching me. Something is touching me. So I tried to put my fingers on it, my feelers. I tried to feel, and I remember looking over and seeing an older gentleman, and he's just sitting there, and he was zoned. I mean, and immediately I thought of my dad, who was in the Air Force. He was an instrument flight instructor, so he taught pilots how to fly by instrument alone. And he was part of owning the DC-3 that Kevin Armstrong had out here. And I go, oh, Dad, you'd really, really, you would have loved this. So I remember saying that yesterday. I woke up this morning. Now, this is perspective change here. Thought of talking to God, thought of my dad knowing he would have enjoyed himself being there with us. Uh-oh, perspective change. Dad, you were there enjoying yourself. I was like, I guess I would have enjoyed having you there. And then I just, forgive me, Father, forgive me, Dad, for not making the shift yesterday and enjoying your company with us yesterday. I felt you strong. Now I'm talking to my Father instead of God. I'm talking to my dad. I felt you strong a couple of times. I will embrace you more in the future. Mm-hmm. So just this morning, I got a perspective change. But then thinking about why I was so enthralled and why I was so touched in tears, watching these airplanes do things in the air, thinking that each plane had one individual in it, I realized that what I was watching was an art form. And I've always enjoyed watching all people who are doing something that they're good at. An excavator. Oh, my gosh. A tree faller. You know, a horse trainer. A dishwasher who washes dishes. When you watch somebody who's really good at what they do, it's an art form. And I realized I was watching, and what's that? I just read it the other day. Beauty, something beauty. Surround yourself with it. I can't remember what it. I can't remember, but I realized I was surrounded by beauty, having these airplanes in the air, doing these stunts and these. At one point, the Thunderbirds, these jets. Oh my gosh, they come in. It's a beautiful airplane to see in the sky. They come in. They cross at the bottom and go up. and come around and come down and go out. They made a huge heart in the sky. And you're like, I wonder how many people saw that.
Yeah.
Or not, you know.
Big
and
smoke trails.
And yeah, and then one person in the airplane. And they're doing their flight at the perfect timing and pushing the smoke thing at the same time. I was just like, oh my gosh. And then that one little plane who would go straight up and stall and then go tail over head over tail over sideways over twist, twist, twist. I'm like, I was so enthralled with the art of it, the skill of it. I wasn't afraid that, you know, he's heading for the ground. And that in itself was something else. They're heading straight for the ground. They're trusting. What are they trusting?
Mechanic.
Their ability, their skill, the mechanics of that airplane. Mm-hmm. What if it didn't start? What if it just mm-hmm. on? And then are they trusting in the Lord? I have no idea, but I know he was watching over them.
But they're also trusting in the passion that they have for what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
All of that, and how that, just that skill, that just watching somebody who's good at what they do. And then, of course, it brought me to, I am supposed to write a book? Really? I have no skill. I'm supposed to live a life with God? Really? I have more faith in that than I do in writing a book, because at least I know God. I'm not always... Do I stay on script? But it just brought me all back to love, life, what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to live it well, so that they will know me by my love. And they will know him because of me, of what flows through me, of what flows out of me, of what kind of a mom I've been, what kind of a friend I've been, what kind of a horse trainer I've been, what kind of a person have I stepped on this earth like. And then when he asks me to do things to be a priest on behalf of someone who is just evil, someone who's not happy unless everyone around him is unhappy and he's in control. Mm-hmm. And I say yes to that. You know why I say yes to that? Because I am so curious at how God is going to work with me through this. Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to look like in the midst of that when it's all over. What am I going to look like in the end? Mm-hmm. How am I going to look like God in the end of that? Just
all that, like doing 600 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. You mean the airplanes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How fast are you going through space?
Yeah. How fast am I going through space? I remember Janae Poppy. She used to say, I'm just careening through space. I need to learn to slow down. And I thought about that too. That's a good point, honey. And how I told you, I shared with you recently that God is working with me on loving myself, taking care of myself. Not going through the shower in 3 minutes.
Sort of like the grooming the horse, right?
Yeah. I was grooming, get the job done, right? And he said, just do it with love. Like you're loving, like you're massaging those muscles. Same when I take a shower now. My shower this morning must have been what?
20 minutes.
20 minutes long. I was like, whoa. I've never taken a 20-minute shower before.
My life, yeah.
No, I don't. It's just like,
I'm
wow.
thinking my shower's going to be cold.
It was awesome, and I wasn't in a hurry. So that communion that we've been doing with the fruit from the tree of life, made me think about a phrase that I'd heard over the years that if you have an encounter with God, this was a phrase that was made, and somebody can, you can take it literally and wrong, and I think it ended up being a stumbling block, mm-hmm. probably more than
lift you up.
Yeah. And it was like, if you have an encounter with God, we should be able to see a change in you. I've heard that before. And I thought, okay, Father, what about that? What about that phrase? And he goes, there's always a change on my part, but you have freedom of will. So you can choose to not acknowledge the change or not accept what I've done for you or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, that explains a lot of questions about truth that I've had in the past too. Because what is that one that says, 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And I thought, does that mean then that you can wrongly handle the word of truth? Mm-hmm. And how, because it's the word of truth, it can be really harmful when you wrongfully handle it. So it's a perspective. It's just...
Well, it's an admonition to speak the truth in love.
Right.
So if we don't know what love is, how can we really speak the truth without our own interpretation and judgment mm-hmm. on it? Well, I mean, I think that's huge. I mean,
truth without love becomes legalism.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Because it's still truth, but if it hasn't got any love, it's...
If it's used to control mm-hmm. someone else, that's not real love. Mm-hmm. Love is allowing freedom to accept
mm-hmm. wow.
and still believe that God wants them to encounter mm-hmm. and to go to the throne of grace and call for those angels that God assigned to him before the foundation of the world to be activated. And that they'll have the road to Damascus experience and encounter. And I believe God is faithful and he gives us more than one encounter. And I mean, basically what Paul, he saw as Saul of Tarsus, was doing all this hideous stuff, really, trying to control. And he saw Stephen, he saw the heavens open, he saw all these things. He was being set up for when Jesus said to him, why are you persecuting me? Hmm. He was being set up for that encounter. And that's what we have to believe for every single human being. Mm-hmm. That God is sitting and we're part of the participation as co-laborers with him to speak that truth and love so that they get that encounter that does change
them. That does
them.
Change them. And that other people that's will
right.
see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I look back on all of this that he's working, because that's one of the questions I ask, you know, what do you want me to share? I can only share what have you been working with me on? And sometimes you just got to step back and you got to look down and you're like, oh my gosh, perspective, love, oh, the heart. And and pretty soon then it starts to come together when you step back and take a look at that. And but... taking the communion with the fruit from the tree of life has just opened up a whole venue for me of different areas of my life, getting a new perspective on things and applying love in a new way. where'd it go? Anyway, comes back to oh, I know what it was. One of the ways that he's loved me that I continue to watch and see over the last 10 years is how he has taken, because of my pursuit, because of saying yes, because of pressing in, how he has taken what I used to know, and it was truth, but it was so, I feel like it was in a box, or it had fences around it, or it had a veil over it, or something. But in the last years, how he has allowed my perspective to change, how he's allowed me to see love in new ways, how he's taken off that veil, and I've seen him in new ways. Things that I thought was, this is the way it is. It's not the way it is, but it's maybe just the foundation or a part, and then he's just opened up to be able to go into the heavenlies, to be able to go behind the veil, be able to use my imagination like I've never used before, to be able to see him in ways I've never seen before. I had a conversation with a person the other day who was asking all these questions, but didn't, and said that they wanted answers, but you couldn't speak, you couldn't say anything, because they, I did say, you know, that was the Old Testament, that was the law. Mm-hmm. This is new. Nope, God was mean and evil, and how can he be loving? I mean, it was just like, really, come on. But timing, and you know, wanting that, I see more questions being asked, so I see the growth. But come on, I want to pull you through the veil. Has there been any perception change in your life recently? Perspective change from possibly having communion with the fruit of the tree of life or not?
Well, I kind of woke up with an interesting perspective change. I have lots of little questions that I know that God eventually answers for me. But one of the things that seems to want to come up is the scripture talks about, I knew you not. But didn't we do all these works, and didn't we do all these things in your name, but I knew you not. And see, to me, that doesn't fit my sense of him. If he wrote a book about each one of us, he knows us. So how can he, you know, so that's kind of, and I just woke up and it was like, oh, I get it. Okay, I hear you. What Jesus said, I knew you not, because it was really, they didn't know him. They thought it was in their works. They didn't understand it was by grace you are saved through faith, that's not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. For you are his artisan work, and you were created in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world to do the good works that he created you to do. So it was like, just now I have an answer when I've had people say that. Well, to me, it's, and I mean, you know, I know it's going to ruffle feathers, but the truth is, he's always known us. They were putting their trust and hope, not in the love and the grace of God, but in the things they did. And see, that's not where our hope is. That's not where our grace is. Even though we may do some great works because of who we are in him, but it's not to get the kudos and then say that very same thing, you know. Well, look, I did all this stuff. What are you talking about? I did it in your name. See, I did the righteous thing. I was 51% godly, so therefore I deserve this, instead of understanding the gift. Anyway, I thought that was kind of I told Joe, I said, it was like, I was pretty excited because it was kind of like, that's one.
Those aha moments.
Yeah. And I thought, thank you, Lord. That was so good. Anyway, there's other little things, but that one was kind of phenomenal.
That's big. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
I think a few days ago, Sue and I were talking, and it's about, more than a few days. We were trying to put something together that required us to get, I don't remember what it was, but it required to get a washer and a nut on a blind spot that you can't hardly get your fingers in. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, hold the bolt in like this and then try to two-finger and nut on and it'd fall off. And then you'd stick a nut back on your two fingers, stick it back up there, and how many times I tried it, and then Sue tried it, and it was like, how many times do you do the exact same thing and expect different results? Do you consider trying it some other way?
You need to say that one more time, nice and loud. That's wonderful.
So take a glove, super glue the nut to your finger, and turn the bolt, it'll go right out.
Yeah, but it's the same thing, either side.
Right. I've been there millions of times.
You put the bolt through the other way, and then it's the left hand trying to do this little live long and prosper thing.
Yes.
I've been here and everything like
that. Turn into that.
Anyway, yeah, it just made me think about what are those things in my life that I have done over and over and over and over and expect different results or different changes in me, and it don't happen because it's exactly the same way of doing it that I've always done it, and just, I need to be open to a change. Remember what we were trying to put together.
It was the winch on the Boda.
Oh, that's right. We were putting the winch on the Boda.
Anybody else had any perspective changes recently? Another one, watching Amanda being engaged to Jace, how all these years we have prayed for a decent, because she's an amazing individual, but she needs somebody to bring out the gold in her. And she's sitting across the bar from me in the kitchen, and she starts expressing herself. I'm going, she got that from me. She's demonstrative in the way that she talks. And I was like, none of my other kids are like that. I was like, woo! It was awesome.
Actually carrying on a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said something about that. And she goes, oh, yeah, don't put my hands in my pockets. I can't talk.
Mm-hmm. Sauerkraut and sweetkraut that you made. I took a little bit out of the bag, had some. I went and finished the bag. It was delicious.
Need to make more.
I don't think I've ever had that recipe. It was really good.
I sent it to you. I did.
It was the German stuff that Jace made.
Oh, that was just cabbage, red cabbage.
Yeah.
Rutkul.
Rutkul.
Yeah. Couldn't pronounce it.
No. Oh, good. I'm glad you liked that.
Yeah, that was delicious.
I liked it, too. The apple and onion and the clove.
Is that what that was?
Apple, okay. Onion, and clove. And then apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, that was
and
great.
Red wine vinegar, too.
And sugar.
How does he spell his name?
Jace? J-A-C-E. Just like your name. But I think it's a short for Jason.
Yeah, it usually is. Yeah, okay.
But your Jace isn't, right?
No.
No. Anybody else want to share? Yeah, Henry, you're wrinkling your nose over there.
I had a bug fly up my nose.
Oh, okay.
I hate it when that happens.
What? Kristen.
I was getting tweaked over here.
Well, you can continue to share with each other our...
I think I've been pretty performance orientated, and I've been really buying to that. I've been caught up with a whole bunch of projects, and I was telling Kristen the other day, you know, I was like, I've been so busy, I haven't been, you know, reading my Bible or doing, you know, like doing all this stuff, and she had to tell me. And thank you for telling me. It's like, well, if you, you know, you're, no, you're in it. That is it. And that's, you know, for me, that's the performance orientation. You know, it's
yeah.
Like, you know, read my Bible for a couple hours a day, or do that stuff. You know, it's like if I don't make time, you know, to do those things, that, you know, somehow it's going to be less, and which isn't reasonable at all.
So there's a perspective change.
So, yeah, I mean, I, you know, when you, you know, you say that, I think, you know, that's something that I was experiencing this week. And I've just been on fire, like, doing the stuff, and, flow's been there, the creativity, you know,
yeah.
Everything's all kind of connected together, and realizing that he's in there, you know. I'm not taking anything away from him by outworking, you know, all this stuff as it comes. And so that's a real new perspective for me.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing. You're doing an excellent job.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Yeah. Good.